illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring, and I did remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. The views of our guests, and, well, our special guest today is John Christian Reiter. We're going to be talking about a man who's been invisible to most people for many years. He's one of the most wealthy men in America. He recently ran and won the Democratic nomination for the Senate of the United States from the state of Connecticut. His name was Lamont. Now, that name may not mean much to you, but after you've heard Jan talking about the background of this family, I think you'll understand the significance of what just happened in the Democrat primary in Connecticut, but I dare say you're not going to hear this elsewhere. Thank you so very much for being with us.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for being with us. So why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about this invisible candidate?
Ned Lamont is part of the, what I like to call, it's a phrase I use, the money mafia. The money mafia is a group of bankers that in 1910 engineered the legislation that created the Federal Reserve System. The family members are the Morgans, the Lamonts, the Rockefellers, and even in Europe, the Rothschilds. And Ned Lamont comes from that wealth. It's interesting, when he started his run for the Senate, the media called him a cable TV executive who was running a grassroots campaign. And he was referred to several times as the virtually unknown businessman from Connecticut. When he won, USA Today called him a challenger who was unknown to 9 out of 10 Democrats in the state just 3 months ago. And it's interesting, when you look at the wealthiest people in the world, they are invisible because they want to be invisible. No one talks about them because they don't want to be talked about. No one prints stories about them because they don't want people to print stories about them. This is power. You just stop and think that you and I, newspaper wants to write a story about us. We say, no, we don't want a story written about us. Story's written. When you have immense power and immense wealth, you are over the fray. You are sitting on the pinnacle of the planet.
And we're really talking about billions of dollars, aren't we?
We're talking billions.
Right.
Billions. In fact, we're talking, when you look at the owners of the Fed, and when I say the owners of the Fed, needless to say, I'm not talking about the United States government. In Europe, the European owners are, and these are family names, and you're going to recognize some of the names, and then I'm going to give you some names you're not going to recognize. But this is the invisible people. And the names are names like Baring, Erlanger, Fold, Kuhn, Lazard, Loeb, Mallett, Maribod, Nobel, Rhodes, Rothschild, Schneider, Schroeder, Sigmund, Spires. And then in the United States, you have names like Astor, Carnegie, Dillon, DuPont, Gold, Mellon, McCormick, Morgan, Scaife, Vanderbilt, Rockefeller. And you know these names. But also part of the invisible people are the Lamonts, the Burnses, the Dawkins, the John W. Davises, the John Foster Dulleses, the S. Parker Gilberts, the Edward Grenfells, the William Leffingwells, and the Elijah Roots.
And of course, these are the people with great wealth who work behind the scenes, molding your future.
According to the American Diabetes Association, more than 18 million people in the U.S. have diabetes. Most people with diabetes have risk factors such as obesity, high blood pressure, and cholesterol, which increase their risk for heart disease. For example, more than 65% of people with diabetes die from heart disease or stroke. Finding out you or your loved ones have diabetes can be scary. This is why, as your trusted online partner in health, we are committed to bringing you products that help you make informed decisions about your health. At researchherbs.com, you can learn more about GlucoCare, a highly effective and safe natural herbal supplement formulated specifically to help maintain optimal blood sugar levels. As with all products featured on researchherbs.com, GlucoCare is the result of several years of rigorous development and is backed by numerous clinical trials and experimental studies. Visit us online at researchherbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 to learn more. That's 1-800-845-3841.
As snow falls on the majestic Rocky Mountains and eventually melts, the water east of the Continental Divide travels downhill over 1,600 miles before reaching the Atlantic Ocean. On the western side, water travels downhill almost 1,000 miles to reach the Pacific Ocean. As you ponder this miracle, ask yourself this question.
How many people and animals has that water passed through before it reaches my area?
Berkey has revolutionized the way water is purified simply and naturally. At the heart of his portable systems are the Black Berkey Purification Element. So powerful, these elements extract pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, chemicals, heavy metals, and yeah, they can purify that downward flowing water. Berkey purification systems get rid of the unhealthy stuff in your water while leaving you healthy, beneficial materials that your body needs. For more information on the powerful Berkey purifiers, call New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call today, that's 888-803-4438, or visit us on the web at berkeywater.com.
So, Janice, where are you and Jim going on vacation this summer?
Definitely somewhere with a beach, though who knows if our feet will even touch the sand.
That reminds me, Janice, have you figured out how to talk to Jim about his problem?
No, I want to, but men can be so sensitive.
Well, it's only going to get worse. Remember, I was going through the same thing with Dan. Then I found Mycoside NS.
What's Mycoside NS?
Mycoside NS kills the germs that can cause fungal infections. It worked great for Dan. He had the worst-looking thick yellow toenails. Now his nails look clear and healthy.
Do I need a prescription?
No, you can get Mycoside NS antifungal treatment in the foot care aisle at any drugstore or major retailer.
And it really worked?
Yep, it worked on me too. I had some white discolorations on my toe. I just applied Mycoside NS daily. I didn't even have to remove my nail polish.
Sounds easy. I can start planning our beach getaway.
Yeah, Mycoside definitely gave us the confidence to bare our feet again.
Pick up Mycoside NS at drugstores and major retailers. Look for a free bonus gift in each box.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is talking about the invisible money forces in the world. Some people call them the money mafia. Some people call them the establishment. Some people call them the invisible government. But they interlock with all of these other special secret societies that we talk about. But these are the people who really control the wealth of the world, and they control the central banks of Europe and England and the United States, which, of course, control their respective governments. So here's Thomas Lamont has a son. His name is Corliss Lamont, and he has a son whose name Ned Lamont. And, of course, Corliss Lamont was very famous, so maybe 30, 40 years ago during the McCarthy era, because he was so intimately involved with this whole communist movement. His father, certainly, was part of the J.P. Morgan banking interests, and Thomas Lamont actually went to Versailles with Colonel House back in 1918, and of course they had so much money with Morgan. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars at that time, and you can imagine what that money is worth today. So pick up the story there, please.
Okay, when you look at what happened in Connecticut, and you look at that race, there is something that is really interesting about it, because you've got to understand that Lamont comes from one of those old money families, and when you're looking at money, you are looking at wealth that is so immense that it can't be measured. So when you see someone like Ned Lamont running for the U.S. Senate, you've got to stop and really look at this and start asking a question, because what you have in essence when you look at this kind of wealth is you have a puppet master, and a puppet master is the marionette who makes the puppets move. So you've got to ask yourself, when you see Lamont, and then a few years back when Jay Rockefeller decided to run for the United States Senate, you had the same thing. You've got the same money family. We've got the same kind of wealth, only in the case of Rockefeller, it's probably 10 times that of Lamont. So when you see someone like Ned Lamont or Jay Rockefeller running for the U.S. Senate, you've got to ask yourself a question. And the question that you have to ask is, why would a puppet master want to be a puppet?
A good question. Why would he want to be a United States Senator? Why should he take a step down?
Because you want to be able to influence directly with your hands, in a hands-on manner, what type of legislation gets locked up in committee and what type gets out of committee. And when you look at Lamont and you look at his philosophy, he's an anti-war. He's an anti-war advocate. And for all of the shortcomings of the president at this point in time, George W. Bush has been extremely successful in launching the war in Iraq and controlling it. Even with the negative press, when a lot of presidents would cave, Bush hasn't. And through all of these PR adversities that he's having, he is succeeding. So you've got to look, and I don't know if this is the answer of why Lamont decided to do this, because usually the people with that kind of wealth pick up a telephone, they call Senator so-and-so and Senator so-and-so and say, look, you know, I need a piece of legislation, or I want to stop a piece of legislation, and it's your job to do it, and it gets done. But apparently whatever Lamont wants to happen in the U.S. Senate isn't happening. And he apparently feels he has to do a little bit of hands-on massage. That's the only thing I can think of, because when you look at that kind of wealth, you're usually not wanting to get down and dirty your hands unless you think in the back of your mind that 6 years from now or 8 years from now, you're going to run for president of the United States. That's the only other thing I could think of. When I sat and watched Lamont running and trying to figure out why he would be running, that's the only two things I could come up with.
Well, it's amazing how many of the people we have in key positions in government are fabulously wealthy. And, you know, you look at the Hines family, of course, that's the Kerry, John Kerry married into the Hines family. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars, but they're pikers compared with Lamont.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. When you look at these families, because most of the influence isn't from sitting in a seat with wearing the title senator. It's from being invisible behind the seats of government. So Lamont's run really brings that invisible power out in the open, and it doesn't happen very often where you really get a glimpse of it. But if you watch what was happening in the state of Connecticut, as Lieberman suddenly realized he had a battle on his hands, what does Joe do? Joe did what every Democratic senator, every Republican senator who runs up against strong opposition does. You go to the party, and what does the party do? The party sends in the power brokers, the biggest names in the country in the Democratic Party, or if you're Republican in the Republican Party. And these people come in and work the crowds for you. But you know the interesting thing, when Joe asked for help from Schumer, from Feingold, from Hillary, and from any number of Republican senators, and even the Democratic National Committee and the Democratic Senatorial Committee, every one of them said, well, you know, it's not fair for us to get involved in this. What we're going to do is we're just going to sit back and see how the primary goes, and we're going to back the winner.
And I think it was so interesting that when Joe lost, why most of the big names got right onto Lamont's bandwagon. And
yes,
they said, oh, well, we've got a loyal to the party. He won. And if anybody thinks for 1 minute that you know, they have loyalty to the party, they do what they think is going to do best for them. And I think it's so interesting now that Joe Lieberman's talking about running as a third-party candidate, which almost ensures that Lamont will win the election in the three-way race.
Yes, it absolutely ensures Lamont, because what Lieberman is going to do, Lieberman is going to split the vote with Schlesinger. There is absolutely no way the Republican candidate could win because he's only going to get 25% of the vote.
And Schlesinger, incidentally, is the Republican nominee. So.
Yes, yeah, Ellen Schlesinger.
And I'm sure that there may be many anti-war Republicans who will vote for Lamont, you know, just say hold your nose and vote for him. They may not like his position on moral issues, but there are a lot of people who are very upset about this war, and I think with some justification.
Well, there's a lot of truth in that, too. Because if you're looking at the war, and if you're looking at all of the other things that happen, if you're looking at what happens with Israel and Lebanon, you're looking at what's happening with the Palestinians, every bit of this is interlocked. It's not like there are several wars down there. There is one war. It's a continuous war with different battlefields, from Afghanistan through Iraq into Lebanon into Israel. It's one war. And that war is not going to get over in our lifetime. So we've got a major problem. It's not going to be a Vietnam quagmire. It's going to be worse. And how the president's going to solve this problem is something I don't think the president even knows.
Well, I think he said that he's going to leave this for the next president who will be coming in 2008. He's not going to pull our troops out. In fact, there's no way that we're going to win this war. We're not trying to win it. I mean, here we are. We're about 3 years since we took control of the country. You know, in 2 years, why the United States had amassed an army that was ready to invade Europe during the Second World War. In 3 years, we can't even put together an Iraqi army that, you know, can maintain law and order in Baghdad.
Yeah.
Come on now. You mean to tell me that we're that inept? No. No, they're not supplying them. They're not giving them food. They're not giving them weapons. They don't want a solution. They don't want an Iraqi army that could take over. Because if we had peace and stability in Baghdad and Basra and the rest of Iraq, how could we justify staying there? So I think we're just planning on staying there indefinitely, and that's why we're building all of the new bases and building those new embassy there. But the American people are supposed to think that we're really doing the best we can. Oh, shucks, we're just so incompetent.
We can't leave. If the United States was to leave Iraq within the next year or 2 years, it will create a vacuum of such proportions that it will, the Iraqi people will just be sucked into and have become part of Iran. The one thing that the world had when Saddam was in power, Saddam was the safeguard against the Ayatollahs in Iran. It was just simple. They held each other at bay. With him gone, and if the United States pulls out, it'll be a domino effect, and it will start with Iraq, and it will knock over Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, the entire peninsula. Will become Iranian. And if we think we've got problems in the Middle East now, it's nothing compared to the problems that we're going to have then. So I have no idea how the president's going to solve the problem. You can't solve the problem by leaving, and you can't solve the problem by staying there. I don't know what the other alternatives are, but unfortunately we're in a pickle, and the pickle is going to get more sour as time goes on. But I think Lamont's answer to this thing is pull up stakes and leave. And it's his solution to the situation in the Mideast is not a whole lot different than Kerry's and Kennedy's solution was of getting out of Vietnam in the 60s and 70s.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes with our special guest, John Kirsten Reiter, and we're going to be talking about Led to Mountain. Lamont, and where we go from here. Proper nutrition is absolutely essential for good health, but most people just don't eat right. Did you know that vitamin C is essential for our health? It's responsible for our collagen, for our bone. It's an excellent antioxidant that protects our immune system, but we can't produce it. Every other animal in the world can produce it except for fruit bats, hamsters and human beings, and that's why we need vitamin C supplements. Most people are vitamin D deficient during the winter months, and certainly those who work indoors are vitamin D deficient during the entire year, and you need supplements. If you'd like to learn about the various health books and tape sets and videos and other health products that are available at Radio Liberty, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the Radio Liberty Health Catalog.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimonial of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lake streams and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light Purifier for only $279 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. I guess I'm Christian Reiter. We're talking about a recent article he wrote in newsreviews.com, and I can recommend that you go to that website and pull down his articles. But you actually have your own website, don't you, where people can go and get your other writings?
Yes, it's www.john, J-O-N, Christian, Reiter, R-Y, T as in Tom, E-R, .com.
Okay, and certainly the articles are excellent. One of the interesting things about this latest article is talking about how these people of great wealth wanted to bring about the 17th Amendment. Most people know about the 16th Amendment, but they don't understand the significance of the 17th Amendment. Would you like to discuss that and how these people, you know, were able to get that through, how they were able to get Woodrow Wilson elected, you know, simply by, once again, creating a three-way race, just as they're creating a three-way race now in Connecticut, Lieberman running as an independent. So it was in 1912 that they were able to get their candidate in. Woodrow Wilson by creating a three-way race, but what was the importance of the 17th Amendment, and why were they so anxious to get Woodrow Wilson in as president in 1912?
Well, when you look at the 16th and 17th Amendment, most conservatives today realize the significance of the 16th Amendment because that's the income tax you pay. And the reason they don't pay too much attention to the 17th Amendment is because most people really don't understand the significance and what we lost. Because what we lost when the 17th Amendment was ratified in 1913, we lost the Republic. It was gone. And the United States was no longer a republic after the 17th Amendment was ratified. The reason for that is the states elected the senators prior to the 13th Amendment. And the states elected the senators because the Senate represented the states, did not represent the people. The people are represented by the House of Representatives. So when you look at our system of government in a republic, you had the people were theoretically protected by the representatives in the House. The states were protected by the Senate, and the government itself was protected by the executive branch. And that's how a republic is formed, where you're sharing authority. The minute that the 17th Amendment was ratified, the states no longer figured in the equation of power. The importance to the money people was they had been trying to recharter a central bank in the United States since Lincoln's time and couldn't do it. And the reason they couldn't do it is because the states didn't want a federal bank. The states were deadly opposed to it. In fact, if you look at the country in 1910, 1911, 1912, you recognize that about 70% of the banks in the country were state-chartered banks. They were not national banks. They controlled about 60% of the wealth. And there is a small cadre of New England banks, New York, New Jersey, and then some in Chicago and the large cities where you had these national banks. They controlled, maybe just a handful of banks controlled 30-40% of all the wealth in the country. And this is the Rockefeller Bank, the Kuhn Loan Banks, the Warburg, and the different bankers that you'll find in that article on News with Views. So if you look at that way, you'll get a sense for all these different names that you may or may not know. But the bankers needed to capture control, voting control of the Senate. And most people, when you think, and you sit here and you listen to the program, you say, well, I elect the senators now. I elect the representatives. And you may think that you do, but when you really look at it, and this is one thing I'm sure Stan talks a lot about, is the money that goes to political candidates, these contributions from corporations. These are bribes. Plain and simple, these are bribes. These are large corporations that are bribing congressmen, bribing senators with contributions, legal contributions, to get the type of legislation that they want or to get access that they need to get things done on Capitol Hill. This is the reality of the government that we have. But the one thing that the bankers couldn't get until 1913, they could not get a central bank. And when the 17th Amendment was passed, they got their central bank because Woodrow Wilson agreed before the election to sign that legislation if Congress put it through.
Well, you hold right that thought. We'll be back in just a moment as soon as we get through with these announcements.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. Now available is the 2006 BioSolutions Plus. The BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms. Eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
Terrorism. Terrorism. Chemical attacks. Dirty bombs. Fallout. Biological attack. Anthrax. And to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription fill. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is John Christian Reiter. We're talking about this article he's written, going to the background of Ned Lamont, who recently won the Democrat nomination for the Senate in Connecticut. Of course, he'll be going off into a runoff in November, but of course, John thinks that Ned is a shoo-in for that. But he was telling us just a few moments ago how they wanted to get through the Federal Reserve Bank. Now, they couldn't get it through the Senate because the Senate wanted to protect the state banks. They wanted set banks. They did not want a central bank controlled by central bankers that would be able to utilize the monetary system of our nation to enrich a few already fabulously wealthy people and eventually impoverish the whole nation. So they had to get, first of all, rid of the United States Senate as we knew it, so they got the 17th Amendment passed. And so, but then also, what about Woodrow Wilson? Where does he fit into that?
Okay, Wilson, during the bank panic, which was a manufactured bank panic in 1906, that this is what started the first run on the banks that created the crisis that needed to be solved with a central bank. And during this banking crisis in 1906, Wilson, who was at that time the president of Princeton University, gave a speech. And in this speech, he made reference that all of the trouble that the country was facing could be averted if the people of the United States appointed a committee of six or seven, as he said, public-spirited men like J.P. Morgan to handle the affairs of our country. In other words, give up the presidency and let a committee of bankers control the country. This had a lot of appeal to Morgan. In 1912, when they were looking for the right person to ram the Federal Reserve Act through, a gentleman by the name of Colonel Edward Mandel House, the colonel being an honorary title, not a military title. House was a Morgan hireling. In fact, House's father was a Rothschild hireling during the Civil War, blockade runners. But so House brought up the clipping and showed it to Morgan. And Morgan suggested that House talk to Wilson and see if he wanted to be president. And then House, needless to say, became Morgan's closest confidant during the 8 years he served. In fact, when the League of Nations was being put together, House was there for the entire thing. So Wilson agreed, if he was elected, that he would sign that Federal Reserve legislation into law. Now, the interesting thing is the election of 1912, because Wilson's not on the radar screen initially. The Democratic frontrunner was the Speaker of the House, a guy named Champ Clark. In fact, when he went to the convention, Clark already had 400 votes in his pocket. Through a lot of hard work just before the convention, I think Wilson was second with about 300. But the interesting thing, as you're watching the balloting going on in the convention, on the ninth ballot, Tammany Hall threw their support behind Clark. And that should have caused a domino effect, and probably on the 10th or 11th ballot, Champ Clark should have been nominated as the Democratic candidate for President of the United States in 1912. The interesting thing about that campaign was there were 467 ballots before Woodrow Wilson became the nominee. 467 ballots. That doesn't happen anymore. There was more J.P. Morgan largesse going on at the Democratic Convention in Baltimore, Maryland in 1912 than in all previous political conventions on both sides of the aisle combined. But when you look at that convention in 1912, there was so much at stake. There was the ratification of the 16th and 17th Amendment, and then there was the Federal Reserve Bank. Now,
don't forget the income tax, of course. That was
right.
Kind of
when you look at the 16th Amendment and the 17th Amendment, neither one of those resolutions were properly ratified. In other words, what I'm saying is that the 16th Amendment was never legally constitutionally ratified. The 17th Amendment was never legally constitutionally ratified. The 16th Amendment has ended up in federal court, and I think I've talked about this on your program in the past. And the federal judges have acknowledged the fact that there was fraud involved in the certification of the 16th Amendment. No one's talked about the 17th Amendment because nobody sees that there's an injured party. The injured party is the American people who lost their right to a republic. This is what happened with the 17th Amendment. And this happened because a group of bankers needed to get a central bank that they owned.
And, of course, the central bank is the key to the controlling the monetary structure, controlling the production of money and credit, and ultimately the ability to control the government. Because he who controls the money controls the government.
Absolutely.
And that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
I mean, a lot of people think that George Bush is the most important man in America. He's not at all. It is the people who run the Federal Reserve System. In fact, when it's said that when Bill Clinton first went to Washington, D.C. As a new president, he didn't go to, he didn't wait for the head of the Federal Reserve to come to see him. He went to see Alan Greenspan. He knew where the real power was, and so does George Bush. They are simply puppets. They're placed there, and they get the Oval Office, but the really important position is the man who determines the monetary structure of our nation. Most people don't understand that.
You know, it's an interesting thing when you look at David Rockefeller, who is the head of the Rockefeller Empire, and when you watch a lot of foreign leaders come to the United States, before they go to the White House, they visit Rockefeller.
Yeah, that's exactly what Fidel Castro did when he was up here, you know. He didn't want to meet with the president. He wanted to meet with the man who controlled the president. That's why Fidel met with David Rockefeller.
Well, the first trip that Nikita Khrushchev made to the United States before he went to the White House, he went to visit Rockefeller. And it's really interesting that the last official visitor, the last international visitor that Khrushchev had before he was fired was a visit from David Rockefeller. And I personally believe that David Rockefeller was the person who fired him.
Well, many people agree with that. In fact, Khrushchev went off to the Black Sea, and when he came back, he no longer was the premier of Russia. He had been assigned to some sort of a generator plant, a dam or hydroelectric plant in Siberia. Who is it who has the power to replace the most powerful man in Russia? David Rockefeller.
Yes. So when you look at what happened, I had a conversation with someone a few months ago, and they asked me if I felt that George Bush was the most powerful man in Washington, because they said the President of the United States is the most powerful man in the world. And I said, in Washington, D.C., the most powerful man is a senator. And they asked, which one? And I said, John D. Rockefeller IV. Now, with Ned Lamont going to Washington in November, and he is going to Washington in November, there's going to be a toss-up as to who the most powerful man in Washington is going to be. But I think it's still going to be Rockefeller, just based on the family wealth. But there was the event, the Lamont race. There's a lot of unanswered questions. The election this fall is going to be a very interesting election, because I think that the toppling of Joe Lieberman was just the start. I think the American people, if the American people are wise, the American people are going to start replacing a lot of these tenured people, particularly the ones who when you look at I think one of the most major problems that this country is facing right now is our borders. Our borders need to be secure. We put National Guard troops on the borders in Texas, and we took their bullets away. So we have National Guard troops who are instructed that if they are attacked, to get on the walkie-talkies they're given and call a Border Patrol. And then the Border Patrol is going to come and defend the National Guard.
What the most ridiculous thing in the world. Why bother to send them down there if they don't have any weapons and they're not allowed to interdict?
It's for show.
Sure.
That's
it is.
Everything that we're doing, this is the thing I think probably that upsets me more about George Bush, is that we are in the bamboozle phase of the Bush administration.
Well, here's, I think, the most beautiful example of that, John, is this recent decision to take away the hairspray and to take away the mouthwash and the baby formula and the contact lens fluid from all Americans getting on planes, because they'd arrested all the people who were involved in a plot to do these fluids. Now, why would they suddenly put these draconian restrictions on when they'd already arrested the men who were planning on doing this, and it's all for show?
Because the American
people should be able to see that, but they don't want to believe that, you know, this whole thing, this whole war on terrorism is phony as a $3 bill. But one only has to say, look, if George Bush really thought that there was a threat of terrorism, he would have sealed the border on September 12, 2001, and nobody would have gotten across that border.
He can't seal the border. That's the whole thing. He can't seal the border. This country has a monumental problem. The Federal Reserve is bankrupt. See, people think, well, the Fed can just go and print more money, so the Fed can't be bankrupt. But the thing that you've got to understand is that the Fed can't just print money. The Fed has to sell a bond issue, which is a debt issue. We have a debt-backed currency. They have to sell the bonds to print the money. What's going on in the Mideast? All of those oil countries that were investing in T-bills in the United States are now investing in euros. So we have a problem trying to manufacture money. We have a serious problem. Well, so what that means is we're almost at the point where we can't borrow because we can't sell the debt. So what does that mean for this administration? This administration has to create immediately new taxpayers. If you can't borrow money, you've got to generate money through taxes. Now, needless to say, the Ned Lamont and Jay Rockefeller philosophy is, well, raise taxes. And, of course, when you raise taxes, you don't solve the problem. We have, by lowering taxes, we're actually generating more cash revenue into the Treasury, but we're not generating enough. We're not generating enough because we have Social Security that's almost bankrupt. We have all of these welfare programs that, even though they were somehow were all eliminated, they still exist. So these things are consuming money. Iraq and Afghanistan are consuming money that this country doesn't have. Bush has to create new taxpayers. What Bush is attempting to do is to get the illegals to come out of the dark, come from the underground, and get Social Security cards and become taxpayers. And this is why Bush can't seal the border. He needs these people coming across. He needs them to feel comfortable enough when they come to get work permits and to get Social Security cards and pay taxes. That's why he can't seal the border.
All right, fine. So anyway, we certainly have a very, very real problem in our country, and we have a very real financial problem, and it's all a direct result of the system of spending and spending and spending, and certainly you can't keep spending more than you're taking in indefinitely, and that's exactly what we're doing.
But see, and this is due largely to our central banking system, because most people don't realize that the profits that are generated from the interest payments, this money is owned by the Fed. In other words, it is owned by the shareholders of the Fed. It is owned by the private individuals, the private bankers who own the Fed. So our problem, as long as we have a privately owned central bank posing as a government central bank, we're going to continue to have this problem because the bankers are going to get richer, 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 and the taxpayers, who are going to be forced to shoulder a bigger tax load to offset this debt, are going to get poorer, 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 poorer. And this is the dilemma that we have. And this is what happens when you have an invisible second government behind the government that's not elected, that is virtually invisible and unknown to the American people.
But do you see another agenda, and that is a planned program of transferring our wealth, our factories overseas, and certainly lowering our wage levels to impoverish the American people, because they really want equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations.
Okay, see, part of the reason for that, and this is part of this same invisible structure that's behind government, because if you look at a lot of these people, they're not all bankers. They're industrialists. They own the factories that are being transferred. And the reason that they are being transferred is if you look at the population in the industrialized nations, the populations are declining. They're declining because of abortion. They're declining because people just don't want to have more kids. And they're going to the third world countries. If you look at those third world countries, what do they have? They have people. People represent human capital, wealth in the making for the industrialists. The problem that they had to get the jobs to them, because these are the consumers of the 21st century. These are the people who are going to make them even richer, not us. Because we live in an economic system that is product saturated. Product saturation levels in the United States are 99.999. Basically, what that means is we are a replacement market. We buy things only when what we have give out. Okay, if you look at, I have in my home, I have three computers. I have one, two, three, four television sets. In my driveway, I've got six cars. I don't need six cars, but it's product saturation.
Well, why don't you get your telephone number and your website up one more time, John?
Okay, well, the only thing I'll let me put up is the website. The website is www.john, J-O-N, Christian Reiter, R-Y-T as in Tom, E-R.com.
God bless you. Thanks so very much for being with us. Have you ever wondered why the incidence of cancer and diabetes and heart disease is increasing in the United States? Are you eating a lot of food that's loaded with sugars in them? Or are you certainly eating prepackaged meals that are loaded with MSG? Or are you drinking Diet Coke that's loaded with aspartame? What are you doing to protect your health? What are you doing to protect the health of your family? Well, most people really don't understand the importance of good nutrition, so I've compiled a list of the books on health, the tape sets, the videos, the vitamins and minerals and herbal products that Radio Liberty carries, and the doses of the products that we recommend. If you'd like to receive a free copy of the Radio Liberty Health Catalog, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And remember, proper nutrition is essential for good health.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
By now, it is no surprise that the U.S. ranks 37th in the world in occurrence of chronic illness, according to the World Health Organization. Due to modern farming and food processing practices, our food supply has become nutrition deficient, deficient in nutrients essential to good health. It is time to take back your health. Everyone has the right to good health. Join the self-reliant families, entrepreneurs, and the company pioneering cutting-edge glyconutrient technology. The wellness revolution is projected to be a $1 trillion industry by 2010. We are looking for people who are serious about bettering their lives and the lives of the people they love. Better health is possible. To learn more, go to therighttogoodhealth.com. You have the right to decide what is attainable in your lifetime. You have the right to build a healthy lifestyle that you can share with your friends and family. You have the right to achieve self-reliance and financial independence. And you have the right to good health. Visit therighttogoodhealth.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and this is the time when I need to remind our listening audience that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Now, if you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to. It will give you insight into the forces behind the invisible forces, because behind these people of great wealth, there are powerful spiritual forces. And if you read my book, you'll find that the Rockefellers and the Fords and the Carnegies have all been involved in the occult. And there's strong occult ties to all of these organizations. And these people many times have accessed beings from another dimension. And that is why, of course, they have been able to accumulate such great wealth and been so well rewarded while they were here on this earth. If you've not yet seen the video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, let me suggest you get it, either the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. We have a new book we're carrying. It's called Hostage to the Devil. Hostage to the Devil, written by a good friend, Malachi Martin, is the story of 5 exorcisms documented by the Catholic Church. You will never look at the world through the same eyes again after reading that book. And you can get the book and my 4 tape set of The Wisdom of Malachi Martin for $34.95. Of course, you know, it's a reduction. You can get them separately. Certainly, the book, $16.95. The tape set's $22.95. But we'd like you to get them together and certainly go into the background of these dark spiritual forces working up at the upper echelons of the Catholic Church. But they're working in the Protestant Church, too. We have a new DVD. It's called Rape of the Soul, and it goes into embedded occult and pornographic implants in Catholic art. And you'll be amazed as you see this. I play a small part. This is a full-length feature film. It's been shown all across America. Everything was done to suppress it. The people within the Catholic hierarchy have done everything they could to keep the Catholics, and of course the rest of the American people, from seeing Rape of the Soul. Well, we're carrying the DVD. It's available now. You'll certainly want to get that. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope many of you will go to our website at www.radioliberty.com, and you can always listen to our programs there 3 hours a day on the Internet, and then you can link to the other websites where the rest of the programs are, GCNLive.com and AmericanNewsNet.com. We hope that many of you will tell others about our programs and encourage them to listen. An awful lot of people out there just can't believe what's going on is real, but it really is. We're heading into World War III. It's all being engineered. It all began with 9-1-1, and you've got to get people to understand what happened on 9-1-1. And you would think if somebody from the other side came forward and said that this was whole 9-1-1 was a scam, was a great triumph for our intelligence agencies, they've really accomplished what they set out to, you would think that would be on the front headlines of every newspaper in America. But you're never going to read what Robert Baer, who is a CIA agent, writes in the preface to his book, See No Evil. We carry it. See No Evil was the book that was the basically the background of George Clooney's movie, Syriana. The movie didn't follow the book very well, but you need to get the book, See No Evil by Robert Baer. We carry the book. Where did Al-Qaeda come from? Why, it was created. The whole thing was created. And you need to get the book, The Devil's Game. You need to get our pamphlets on Foreknowledge 911 and the Occult Hierarchy. They're all available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are at war. America, our freedom, our future. We're under siege today.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 PSI, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary medium media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the advanced Berkey Life Purifier for only $279 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
You are listening to GCN.
Well, this is Arthur Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, well, this afternoon we have with us Dr. Joe Douglas. We're going to be talking about the white paper on the Black Book. And without further ado, Dr. Joe Douglas, thanks so very much for being with us.
Oh, it's a delight to be with you again, Dr. Stan.
Well, why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about what the Black Book is and of course, why it was really so important that somebody catalog the atrocities of communism.
Well, the Black Book is about the, let's say, the black crimes of communism. It was put together in the early to mid-90s by a group of about a half dozen or so French scholars. Interestingly enough, every one of them was either a former communist or a what we would call a close fellow traveler. And what they did when there were a number of documents that started becoming available in various archives was to go through these documents as best they could in all the communist countries and try to make an accounting of the crimes of communism over the century, the 20th century. And what was particularly interesting about it, I think more than anything else, and a big part of the story, is that when the Black Book of Communism came out in France in 1997, and this is now, it's a regular-sized book, about 2 inches thick. It's an academic, heavy book, if you will, but it immediately became a publishing sensation. Now, why would a academic that's book that's rather dry and focused on crimes, which is not a very nice topic, becomes such a public sensation all of a sudden? What was surprising was all of a sudden the people in France realized that they had no idea of really what communism was. All of these the mammoth crimes of the communist countries, which were far, far worse than anything Hitler and Nazi Germany had done, were suddenly being made public. And they were just sort of astounded by it, and it thus became a publishing sensation in France. It was regarded so highly that it was picked up by the Harvard University Press, who had the book translated and then put out an English edition in 1999. Now, while it got very good reviews in the academic press, it certainly did not become the publishing sensation it was in France. Nevertheless, it is an interesting book, a fine book in a sense that it's one of the first times that the academics have really tried to take a look at the crimes of communism. But in a second sense, it's a wonderful illustration of how hard the job is, why that job will probably never be finished, and notwithstanding the efforts they put into it, how little they really uncovered of all the crimes.
And I think what happens, you had so many idealists feeling they saw the injustice of a capitalist society, they were willing to give their allegiance to communism to solve the problems that they saw, and they embraced even a far worse evil. Would that be a fair statement?
And that is perfectly true. It's one of the most surprising things, particularly when they look at one of the intellectuals, Gorky, who embraced communism and then was basically told that the intellectuals weren't worth a darn by Lenin, and he then bent right around to Lenin's position and continued working for the system.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Joe Douglas.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarship, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn the secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Yes, there is a choice, a real alternative, when it comes to news and information. The GCN Radio Network has become a world leader for those who want to know the truth. Visit GCNLive.com today and discover the amazing benefit of becoming a subscriber to the GCNLive.com Radio Club. By becoming a monthly subscriber, you gain access to higher quality audio streams of all of the compelling GCN broadcasts. A full archive of the shows are posted on a daily basis within 3 hours, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, fast forward, rewind, pause, and at the same time, you are supporting a beacon of free speech. Visit GCNLive.com and become a member. It's so easy. There's a choice. There is an alternative, and it's called GCNLive.com. Visit GCNLive.com today. You can also get the entire month of your favorite show on MP3 CD that plays on computers and most CD and DVD players for only $19.95. Go to GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 928-8822.
We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our special guest this afternoon. Dr. Joe Douglas is talking about his white paper on the Black Book of Communism. It was basically a book that he wrote, or a paper he wrote, in response to the revelations of a group of French scholars who had investigated the horrible brutality and terror of communism. And of course, why don't you pick up the story? You were just beginning to tell us about some of the specific things.
Yes, I was just mentioning that one of the, as a good example, one of the first things they did when they took over was to abolish the death penalty. And the second thing they did was to set out to kill tens of thousands of people, everybody and anybody that looked the wrong way or wasn't agreeing with them 100,000%, if you will. So it was a beautiful example of precisely the example you were talking about in regard to Cuba and so many of the other communist countries.
But, of course, communism has always been sort of glorified here in this country. Oh, yes, well, there might be a few little extremes, but look how much better everything was. And now we had an orderly society where everybody was happy, and we'd all see all these pictures of people out in the streets smiling, you know, and supporting the dictator. Of course, if you spoke out, they simply tortured you to death. But the American public was never allowed to know because the media here in America has always glorified communism, at least up until the very end. And then, of course, suddenly, oh, how terrible it was. And now they talk about how terrible it was when they were killing 2 million people in Cambodia after the Vietnam War. But when they were slaughtering them, we didn't even hear about it.
No, and as a matter of fact, this has developed an entire name of its own. It's called a double standard. Where that idea came up. The double standard is we can look at a country like Nazi Germany and show how bad it was, how many murders they committed, all the atrocities they performed, while at the same time when we look at the Soviet Union, the Russian community there, we don't see any of the crimes. And that was one of the things that really fascinated the editor of this book. They did the very unusual thing, of course. They looked at the crimes of Hitler's Nazi Germany and then dared to compare them with the crimes of communism. And what they saw was that the crimes of communism were orders of magnitude worse than anything Hitler did.
I mean, we all hear over and over again about the Holocaust. It was a terrible thing, no question. Of course, we never hear about the 12 million others that Hitler killed, predominantly Christians. We just never mention that. We never mention the 60 million people they killed in Russia. And how many do they estimate they killed in communist China?
Well, you know, in the statistics are interesting in the Black Book. They talk about in the 60, 70 million range as the total number of crimes they committed, which is... in, I think, the opinion of most experts, a gross underestimate. They only estimated about 20 million crimes for Russia, and indeed, all the estimates I've seen have the crimes for Russia up in the 60, 70, 80 million, and the total crimes of communism more like 160 million. And this is in less than a century, too.
Do they talk at all about the great hunger between 1958 and 1962 in China, where they starved to death over 40 million people? Did they get into that?
They got into most of those types of things in all the countries, particularly China, where they came out with a healthy number of deaths. Also, the Ukraine was another good example of precisely that same thing.
Well, you know, the most amazing thing, I got started back in 1962 studying communism, and it wasn't for almost 40 years that I ever heard about the Great Hunger, where almost 40 million people had been starved to death in communist China between 1958 and 1962. And you have to ask yourself, how could they conceal that from the anti-communists in America and from the American public as a whole? You have to have an awful lot of control over the American media to be able to do that.
Well, you sure do. And, you know, the question that the editor asked in the first chapter when he compared these two was, how is it possible that the world as a whole could not see going on this worst example of repression and terror that the globe has ever seen before? And then he says a very interesting thing. He said, why is there such an awkward silence from the politicians? Why such a deafening silence from the academic world regarding the communist catastrophe which touched the lives of about one-third of humanity on four continents during a period of time spanning 80 years? That is the essence of this problem that we are running up against. One cannot speak bad about the communists. Now, the author goes into a few reasons behind this, but what's most interesting is they're primarily politically correct reasons. He doesn't really address what are the main reasons, and there's really two reasons that I could see. Number one, if you have the academics and you have the politicians silent about this thing, it's because they know very well that their careers depend upon it. That the financial powers that support them, that the foundations that provide them grants, that the centers of policy that build up their work don't want any of this information out in the open.
And I think it's so interesting that the great tax-exempt foundations, Rockefeller, Ford, Carnegie, have always suppressed information about the atrocities of communism because they have been financing the communist professors here in this country and financing the activities of many communist organizations. That is the most difficult thing even for the average individual and specifically for a communist to acknowledge is the fact that people of great wealth are encouraging this movement towards communism.
That's absolutely true, Dr. Stan. That's why this Reese Committee investigation that took place in 1953, early 54, is so important because they looked at these tax-exempt foundations to see what they were doing. And they identified them as an interlock, which was composed really of the top people in the major corporations and in these big foundations. And their objectives, as they spelled out and documented with a whole ream of documents, was to replace our whole essence of the American Republic with socialism, to undermine our sovereignty and pride as a nation, and to destroy Western culture, beginning really with a major attack on Christianity. And this, of course, is what gave rise, it's sort of the implementation of what was called the Long March Through the Institutions, first identified by a couple of communist theoreticians, one from Hungary, Lukács, and one from Italy, Gramsci. And both of these gentlemen identified that the communist revolution, while it was a success in Russia, all of a sudden it was defeated in other regions of Europe where it started almost at the same time. And what they concluded was that Western civilization had a natural defense mechanism, particularly its Christian heritage, and that they didn't want anything to do with all these ideas of communism and the repression, the terror, and the crimes that went along with it. And so they actually defeated these revolutions that took place, and both of them really concluded that the only way we will advance the spread of communism, which in many regards is very similar to the New World Order, the only way to stop it is really by infiltrating all of the institutions in the West, beginning with the church, and undermine them, because that was the natural defense mechanism.
And, of course, they've done it, and they've done it very effectively. They've infiltrated our schools, our churches, our political institutions, our great universities. Today, most people really accept socialism. In fact, we have far more socialism in the United States today than they ever had in communist Russia.
You know, one of the things I think explains why is in an interview that the research director of the Reese Committee, Norman Dodd, did with the head of the Ford Foundation, Rowan Gaither. And he got Gaither to explain what their objectives were. And Gaither basically said that they operated out of directives that emanated from the White House. And the essence of those directives were that they were supposed to use their foundation money and power to so change the culture in the United States as would make possible a comfortable merger between the United States and the Soviet Union.
In fact, we actually have an interview with Norman Dodd where he tells the story of going to see Rowan Gaither, and Gaither actually telling him that. Norman Dodd was the director of research for the Congressional Committee, the Reese Committee, that investigated the great tax-exempt foundations a little over 50 years ago. But if you'd like to hear that interview, it is available through Radio Liberty. It's the Norman Dodd tape, or it's the 4-tape set on the secret government, because, ladies and gentlemen, we really do have a secret government.
You know, that's a wonderful tape, and there's some books that go into what he wrote. He talked about also in his investigations and what he found, The Foundations by Rene Wormser, and I believe it's Tax-Exempt Foundations by Bill McElhenney.
Right.
They're both excellent also.
Well, we carry the one on foundations, Their Power and Influence by Rene Wormser. People have to understand who has really been financing communism and why the media won't tell you the truth. And the reason it is, it's controlled by people who are totally in sympathy with this idea of creating a ruling elite, because communism is a sincere, benevolent theory. But, of course, in fact, it is tyrannical, it is cruel and ruthless, and somebody's got to be in charge. And people who want to control the lives of others, They're the ones who end up at the top of the pyramid, oppressing and murdering and torturing others throughout the world. There really are people who have a different worldview. Would you agree?
Absolutely, and there's a couple of remarks about that, but I'd like to even extend it a little bit, taking off on Norman Dodd's comment.
Okay, you go right ahead.
The question is, how do you bring about a comfortable merger between a basically moral country and one characterized by evil and repression and terror and crimes? And there's two things that you have to do. One thing you have to do is you have to keep silent about how bad communism is, and indeed build it up so it looks wonderful to the people, while at the same time you have to undermine the United States so as to bring it down to the same level. And that's the only way you can achieve this merger, which is the essence, if you will, of a new world order where the United States and other strong nations give up their sovereignty.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimonial of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
In December 2005, CNN had a special documentary about the inevitability of nuclear terrorism on American soil. When the mainstream media is reporting on such a perilous topic with such candor, it should be taken very seriously. Currently for sale by owner, the ultimate secure home is strategically located in the awesome mountains of southwest Colorado. This patented steel-reinforced concrete earth home was built to withstand any natural or man-made disaster you can name, whether that be a forest fire, an earthquake, or even a full-scale nuclear attack. The house is completely off-grid with solar electricity and an independent water supply. It even has a hidden fallout shelter with NBC air filtration. Its many self-sufficient and high-security features will amaze you. With nuclear World War III looming ever closer on the horizon, this custom survival home is turnkey, ready for a new owner. For more information, visit www.ultimatesecurehome.com. That's www.ultimatesecurehome.com.
Hello friends, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean, real hard to find all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients. emissions, is earth-friendly and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calvin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calvinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Book of Communism. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Joe Douglas. We're talking about a book called The Black Book of Communism, compiled by some French intellectuals, all of whom had either been fellow travelers or communists, who suddenly came to realize the horror of what they'd actually been backing, and they began to catalog in this one book. It's called The Black Book of Communism, the horrible atrocities that are carried out by the communists in Russia and in China that pale into insignificance. And I say that figuratively with what Adolf Hitler did. In other words, Adolf Hitler killed perhaps 18 million people, and the Russians killed probably 3 to 4 times that many, and certainly the communists certainly killed 3 to 4 times that many. But we never talk about their atrocities. We focus our attention over and over and over again on the Holocaust. And as horrible as it was, we have to ask ourselves why it was we focus on one horror and ignore something even more terrible.
Wonderful point, Dr. Stan. And there's a great example of what's happening here that I'd like to pick up on. And that's the event which is known as the Secret Speech of Khrushchev. This took place in 1956 at the February Party Congress. And it is regarded as a speech which was unusual because it was the first time that the Soviets talked about some of their own crimes. And indeed, it was almost unheard of because Khrushchev really denounced the practices of Stalin, if you will. But what is fascinating is the way in which this is grossly misinterpreted and portrayed by everybody in the West. And why I say this is I want to compare two stories, the way they talk about it and the way it was presented to me by a top-level defector who had no reason and has never been shown to have been misleading or deceptive himself in telling what happened, who was actually present at that conference and knew what the secret speech was all about. The way in which it's portrayed is that it is, represents a fundamental change in the Soviet attitude, and that what they're interested in really doing was eradicating the evils of communism and embracing the democratic process. Again, they're trying to make themselves out to be like the United States, if you will, or any other democratic nation, and to basically say, well, all these things that were bad were things in the past. We're no longer like that anymore. It was entering in a time of peace. Now, this is the way in which it is portrayed in the Black Book of Communism. This is the way it was portrayed by U.S. intelligence and picked up by the intellectuals back in 1956 through 1960 and on afterwards, because of secret speech, a copy was obtained by the CIA through their tremendous covert operations and then published in the New York Times. And, of course, the reason for publishing in the New York Times is that's the key word that the intellectuals rely on in general. Now, the way Sena describes it is kind of interesting. What he said is that, well, this didn't come as a surprise to anybody. We all knew it was happening. Matter of fact, we had a copy December before the February meeting, and so that we would discuss it and would know how to act on it and know what was coming, so we really weren't surprised. It was nothing of a change in Soviet strategy or objectives or behavior, really. What it was a as he discussed it with me, was a tactical shift to more quickly destroy Western imperialism and bring them under the yoke of communism. Now, the reason for this is they said, well, the West will never see us as changing unless we are able to lay the crimes of communism in the past on the shoulders of the only person who can carry the load, meaning Stalin. So Stalin was to be denounced. The speech would then show the intellectuals in the West that the Soviet Union was changing, so that they would open up their arms and then provide economic and technical assistance to the Soviet Union. Well, the speech was not then received by tremendous covert operations of the Soviets, of the CIA, if you will, because it was deliberately planned to have been obtained by the CIA, by the Soviets. The only reason they classified copies of it secret was so that the CIA would pay attention to it, because they felt they wouldn't pay attention to it unless they classified it secret. So they did. It wasn't that there were a few papers published. There were tens of thousands of published copies of the speech, because it was used for party discussions throughout the entire communist world. And then they made sure, by planning a copy of it, or enabling the CIA to get a copy, in a way that they would think that they had just orchestrated a tremendous intelligence coup.
Sort of a strategic deception, the sort of game they played over and over again, and it was amazing how our diplomats always believed it. We'll be right back with Dr. Joe Douglas.
If you would like a copy of this show, come to GCNLive.com and reserve it today, or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Proper nutrition is absolutely essential for good health, but most people just don't eat right. Did you know that vitamin C is essential for our health? It's responsible for our collagen, for our bone. It's an excellent antioxidant that protects our immune system, but we can't produce it. Every other animal in the world can produce it except for fruit bats, hamsters, and human beings, and that's why we need vitamin C supplements. Most people are vitamin D deficient during the winter months, and certainly those who work indoors are vitamin D deficient during the entire year, and you need supplements. If you'd like to learn about the various health books and tape sets and videos and other health products that are available at Radio Liberty, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the Radio Liberty Health Catalog.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation, the program that helps stop defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. Your child will listen to you again. I guarantee it.
Change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
When my son started having behavior problems, the Total Transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Do you need an instruction manual for your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation, the program that helps stop defiance and backtalking. Your child will listen to you again. I guarantee it.
Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Do you remember when you could eat most anything and not worry about it? Or maybe weight management has always been a problem. Are you frustrated, burned out, and tired of fad diets and marketing gimmicks that don't really work? Do you want a proven system, a long-term solution, to live a healthier lifestyle and properly manage your weight? At WeCanTogether.com, our approach is different. We focus on the whole you, personalized for your unique body composition, individual needs, and personal goals, not the cookie-cutter approach offered by others. Join today and have direct access to real people that are certified health and fitness professionals. Now there is help you can count on. WeCanTogether.com is the most complete, comprehensive wellness and training resource available on the web today. Visit us now and receive your free membership. Go to WeCanTogether.com. That's WeCanTogether.com.
And our guest is Dr. Joe Douglas. Joe, do you have a website or anything you'd like to get out for our listeners before we go on?
I do not have a website at this time, Dr. Stan, although there are a number of papers that I wrote that are on financialsense.com, and then there's also a couple on newsmax.com and via some of the other major news
All right, well, let me just mention that Dr. Douglas has written a book called Betrayed, the story of the men we abandoned in Vietnam and in Korea and the Second World War and the First World War, a very important book called Betrayed. It is available through Radio Liberty. Well, Joe, go ahead. You were speaking now about, of course, the strategic deception that the Soviets have used as they, of course, are moving to a position of really of world leadership, and America, of course, has managed to antagonize so many nations in the world. We're still the strongest military nation in the world, but we are also the largest debtor nation in the world, and we're a nation in moral and physical decline. So pick the story up there.
Let's go back now to the same time that they were putting peaceful coexistence into play in terms of this strategic deception. At that time, they were modernizing the whole Revolutionary War movement, which they ran out of the Comintern. Now, what they did is they began four new strategic operations, intelligence operations, all of them which were, by being strategic, which were of paramount importance. The first of those operations was narcotics trafficking. The second of those operations was international organized crime. The third was international terrorism. And the fourth was strategic deception, whose major role was to confuse everybody about the sources of the growing narcotics problem, international crime, and terrorism. Now,
of course, really, they trained a lot of terrorists, that, you know, and not only that, but they trained a lot of Islamic terrorists, too, through the years as well, haven't they?
Yes, as a matter of fact, the first major target for terrorism in terms of really organizing of the terror groups was in the Middle East. They started that out. They were going on that in 1958. That's when they recruited Yasser Arafat, as a matter of fact. The PLO was a Soviet creation, as were almost every terrorist group in the Middle East that came into being. That was a major area for Soviet recruitment. Almost every other terrorist group in the world, they also helped or actually created around the world. And they, you talk about training terrorists, they trained tens of thousands of terrorists. They would recruit them, bring them to various training camps where they would be trained, and then insert them back into terrorist groups in the various countries. In the case of narcotics trafficking, the same thing. They recruited people around the world because they wanted to use indigenous country people, not Soviets, because they didn't want anybody to know that the Soviets were behind all this stuff. And by 1985, I once made a calculation looking at the number of terrorist camps that they had in operations that we knew about, and also the size of the schools, the length of the schools, the duration, and how many students they processed. And they would have processed by 1985 over 25,000 drug traffickers. So you have the same tremendous emphasis on training the cadres around the world. In the area of international organized crime, they saw this as a tremendous way to gain intelligence and to manipulate the political elite, and particularly the financial elite, because they're all coupled in to, or they were to a great, to a large extent, coupled into the policy process because of the nature of the connections of the organized crime networks.
And of course, we hear about the Russian mafia. The Russian mafia is operating all over the United States. They're cruel and ruthless there. I mean, they make the old Italian mafia look sort of like pikers.
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, the guidance to the Czechs in organized crime from the top and Soviet intelligence official was the only way to succeed in this operation is to be tougher than the next guy. You have to make sure that the criminals that are out there realize that you do things that they wouldn't even dream about. You're that tough. And so this underlies the whole approach of Soviet international organized crime, and why indeed we do see it, the police see it in the 1990s as exactly having the characteristics you mentioned, Dr. Stan.
And, of course, they're in Russia today. You hear about all these very wealthy people. They're all ex-KGB. I mean, where do you think these billionaires came from in Russia? Do you think there was some little peasant who'd been saving up his shekels there in a jar? No, they simply, when the Soviet Union supposedly collapsed, why, they stopped calling it the Soviet Union. They called it Russia or something, and the Association of Independent States. The KGB took on a different name. The Communist Party continued to control of the military. And, of course, the agents of the KGB took over all the wealth and corporations, and they all became respectable. But nothing has really changed. They still have a goal, a new world order, and the destruction of world religions. And, of course, then, of course, you get to the next stage Gorbachev is. Gorbachev is deeply involved with the occult, because that's what really energizes this whole movement, their drive towards the new world order and the new world religion.
That's true. And, you know, a good example of this, coming back to the organized crime, that all of a sudden appeared in about 1991, 92. I think they were having actual congressional hearings as early as 1993 on it. And there we were told suddenly that there were 17 major U.S. cities that the police didn't know what to do about this tremendous threat of Russian organized crime, because it was so ruthless, so well connected, and was so well engaged in all sorts of criminal operations. Now, who thinks that you could go from zero to major problems in the top 17 U.S. cities in a period of 2 years? You know, that would take several decades to be able to build up that type of an operation.
Unless, of course, you had it all planned ahead of time.
Yes, that's precisely the case. Now, when we take a look at these things, you know, crime, narcotics trafficking, and terrorism, what we see is dead silence in the intelligence community and the government and academics in terms of looking at the Soviet Union as being not, you know, just behind it, but even being slightly involved. And it's interesting, the CIA had a position up until 1981, when it became impossible to deny it, that the Soviet Union had no connection with international terrorism, and it was not really a terrorism nation, and it was not sponsoring international terrorism. And this was a position they took so as they could avoid getting involved in helping anybody with their terrorist problems, such as the Italian government, as a specific example mentioned by Claire Sterling in her excellent book, The Terror Network. And it wasn't until there was a major study undertaken, a study that one of the component players, the Defense Intelligence Agency, had a couple people who knew Jan Sena and were able to debrief him on the Soviet role in international terrorism. They then took the whole strategic picture of it, as he pointed out, and gave them. They then went to all of the intelligence files and were able to confirm everything Sena said and find additional material, so that they came in with a totally detailed, documented picture of the Soviet Union as the primary sponsor of international terrorism, and organizer, and trainer, and recruiter. And even then, the CIA recruited it with tooth and nail, and tried even to discredit their own sources so as to prevent the findings of the DIA study from ever seeing its way into the public domain.
I think, well, this is the strangest thing, because if you look back over what's been going on, you'll always find people at the highest echelons of our government making excuses and covering for the communists, whether it be the fact that they kept our prisoners back after the Vietnam War and the Korean War and the Second World War and the First World War, but they always had apologists in our government, and there were always apologists there who were always going along with the official Communist Party line, and of course demonizing and attacking anybody would point out exactly the sort of games that they were playing in narcotics and financing terrorism. Why were there so many people in key positions in our government who were consistently communist apologists?
Yes, and let's take another example that's more recent. Between 1989 and 1991, the Soviet Union supposedly disintegrated. Now, they didn't just disintegrate as, you know, out of a flash. This was a carefully controlled operation, as anybody who has studied it knows very well. So that the Soviet Union went through a metamorphosis, if you will, trying to create a totally different image of a new country, in that period of time. Now, what was the United States' reaction to that? Now, first of all, what they should have done at that period of time was to double or triple the number of intelligence people that were working on the Soviet Union, because this is the first time in 70 years that we've been able to get into the Soviet Union and talk to people. When people were confused, when it was possible to talk about them doing different things and to gather intelligence. Exactly the type of thing that we should have done. What did we do? Exactly the opposite. When Bush 1 came into office, one of the first things he did, basically, is cut intelligence directed at the Soviet Union back to the bone. He even put out directives, the CIA acknowledged, the head of the operations department, that they were told to cut back and stop, actually, all surveillance in the Soviet Union and around the Soviet Union, including into the areas of the Middle East. Not only that, people were cut back on the staffs. So you would go from, you know, dozens of people working on studying the Soviet nuclear threat to maybe two or three, all in a period of a year and a half. Intelligence people couldn't understand it. The other thing that happened at that same time was all of a sudden you had a new policy that emerged. No longer do we talk about state-supported terrorism. Now terrorism was an independent operation, independent of any state sponsorship. And, of course, that only meant one thing, that all of a sudden the Soviet Union wasn't doing it anymore, wasn't involved in terrorism. So that all went down the memory hole. Now we're fighting a war on terrorism, and there's absolutely no recognition of where these guys got trained, where they came from, and the fact that they are still operating in consultation, and perhaps more than consultation, with the Soviet Union. It's no accident that the deputy head of Al-Qaeda was a Soviet agent. Did he suddenly stop? We don't even acknowledge that that's what he was. Or the fact that there are many others in the organization and the other Middle East terrorist organizations which are causing so much trouble. It's like all of a sudden, after this disintegration, if you will, we stopped collecting intelligence in exactly the place we should have been focused on intelligence, and all of a sudden terrorism no longer exists as a Soviet state operation. So the Soviet Union, of course, never enters in anybody's thoughts in terms of, well, who is really behind 9/11? Who knew what? And what's happening today, and how do we combat this operation? It's like, again, we're operating with blindfolders applied by our own government on the things they, on one hand, say they want to stop, while on the other hand, they contribute to the false image being projected of what the Soviet Union is all about.
And, of course, what they're doing is using the threat of terrorism and the tragedy of what happened on 9/11 to take away our freedom, to expand surveillance over our telephone calls, surveillance over our library records, surveillance, over our financial records, listening to our telephone calls, listening, watching our emails and our faxes, all in the name of fighting terrorism. And they are using the threat of terrorism to justify bringing about a police state which is far worse, potentially, than anything they ever had in the Soviet Union. Oh, they haven't started knocking on the door in the middle of the night, at least not for most people, but they are militarizing our police. They're, certainly changing the entire relationship between the individual and his local police. They're federalizing the police, which was never supposed to happen. And even as we saw it at the New Orleans after the problem there, we had professional mercenaries patrolling the streets. We had U.S. troops patrolling the streets in violation of the Posse Comitatus law, but that didn't seem to matter. After all, we couldn't use the National Guard because most of them were over fighting for freedom in Iraq.
And people don't recognize these things. And they say, well, oh, you're just seeing a bunch of bogeymen that aren't there when we talk about these things. One of the things that I worked on for about 5 years straight was debriefing Jan Sena on the narcotics trafficking operations of the Soviets in the communist world. And, of course, they are the reason behind the problem we have. It was a major operation, very, very, very secret. And the key players in it, which are the banks, was the focus, really, of major deception efforts of all the countries to make sure that never, as the top people in the Soviet Union explained to the Czechs, never would the spotlight of the publicity be focused on our friends, the banks. But now, you know, after I'd laid that whole drug trafficking operation out in the late 80s, which I thought made sense because how can you fight a war if you don't know who the enemy is, I started taking it to all the places in the Washington community that were engaged in fighting narcotics trafficking. There wasn't one agency that wanted to know about that. And indeed, as a general rule, with one personal exception, their attitude was they didn't want to know about it.
Now, was that your book, Red Cocaine?
That's why I wrote Red Cocaine, so at least the people could be aware of the things if the government didn't want to know about it.
And you have to ask yourself, why wouldn't the government agents be concerned about it? Don't we have a war on drugs? Aren't we trying to stop the drug trafficking? And all I can say is if we're trying to stop the drug trafficking, we're doing an awful poor job, because since we started the war on drugs, we got a lot more drugs.
The truth of the matter, Dr. Stan, is, and it applies not only to drug trafficking but organized crime as well, is that there is no effort to stop it. Indeed, the reason they succeed and succeed so well is because they are politically protected. And if we had more time here, it'd be possible to go into numerous examples which show how well protected it is by our own government.
You're talking about now about these various Russian efforts here, communist efforts in the drug trade and elsewhere?
Absolutely. And, of course, the problem, if you can step back from it, because we don't have much time left, when you look at the size of organized crime, it's mammoth. We're talking of over $10 trillion a year. Think of that number and how large it is. And then you recognize that there's no way that anything that large could be operated without massive corruption of the financial structure, the legal structure, the law and order structure, criminal justice structure, the political justice, and financial structure, all the banks. You know, it's that big, and you have tremendous corruption, and everybody has to go along with it.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a few minutes to wrap up the program. Our guest today has been Dr. Joe Douglas. His book, Betrayed, if you haven't read it, it's available through Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. Have you ever wondered why the incidence of cancer and diabetes and heart disease is increasing in the United States? Are you eating a lot of food that's loaded with sugars in them? Or are you certainly eating prepackaged meals that are loaded with MSG? Or are you drinking Diet Coke that's loaded with aspartame? What are you doing to protect your health? What are you doing to protect the health of your family? Well, most people really don't understand the importance of good nutrition, so I've compiled a list of the books on health, the tape sets, the videos, the vitamins and minerals and herbal products that Radio Liberty carries, and the doses of the products that we recommend. If you'd like to receive a free copy of the Radio Liberty Health Catalog, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And remember, proper nutrition is essential for good health.
The Bill of Rights is a term for the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, limiting the federal government's power and preserving the rights of the people. Each day, we gradually lose these rights that we are entitled to. We need to take a stand to let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. Today, you can take this stand. You can express your beliefs by wearing a new and innovative t-shirt available only through GCN. Each shirt is black with a redesign of the famous Don't Tread on Me Gadsden flag located on the front of the shirt. On the back is the Bill of Rights, printed in bold white text. Each shirt is $15 plus $7 shipping. Please send a check or money order for $22 along with size and the number of shirts being ordered to Libertees. That's Libertees. 447 Thompson Bay Loop, New Blaine, Arkansas, 72851. Or go to GCNlive.com to view this great shirt today. Sizes XXL and larger at $2. Arkansas residents at 8% sales tax.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
And how do you make any sense of what's going on today? How do you make any sense out of the fact that we have a war on drugs, we got more drugs? How do you make any sense of the fact that our government is giving the Russians money all the time in the name of, oh, we don't want their plutonium to get this, fall into the hands of the wicked Al-Qaeda or Osama bin Laden, so we're going to give them $1 billion or $2 billion to make sure they're plutonium is safe, and Russia, which is certainly has money to burn, has more money they know what to do with today, is amassing a massive reserve, but we have to give them the money to protect their bacteriological warfare supplies, their chemical warfare supplies, and we can always find another reason to give the Russians and the communists money. And the same thing is true with what's going on in China today, and none of this makes sense unless you have read the book written by Professor Quigley, Tragedy and Hope, The History of the World in Our Time. Professor Quigley was Bill Clinton's mentor, and he explained to Bill who really runs the world. He takes them into a secret society, which is today America's invisible government. If you haven't read Tragedy and Hope, The History of the World in Our Time, you should. Because shortly after the book was published back in 1966, somebody bought up the publisher, Macmillan, and destroyed the plates of the first half of the book so it couldn't be reprinted. And if you find that hard to believe, then you'll want to hear the interview we have with Professor Quigley. It's in the four-tape set called The Secret Government, and included in that four-tape set is the interview with Norman Dodd, who is the director of the Reese Committee, who was told by Rowan Gaither of the Ford Foundation that the major function of the Ford Foundation was to so alter life in America that one day we could be peacefully merged with the Soviet Union. You can get Tragedy and Hope by itself, or as the special with the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, and the Quigley interview. That's the Tragedy and Hope special. Or you can get any of them separate. You can get the interview with Norman Dodd or the Secret Government tape set. The book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, which is one of the five most important books in my library. Also, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, is one of the five most important books. To understand Fidel Castro and how the American government brought him to power and has kept him in power all this time, you need to get our video, The World Revolution. You will see my interview with Ambassador Smith, who was the American ambassador to Cuba in 1959. And he tells you how we intentionally brought Fidel Castro to power. We go into the Bay of Pigs, the phony Cuban Missile Crisis, and all the things that the media has paid so well not to tell you. You need to get the book Wall Street and the Rise of Communism. It was written by Professor, or I should say Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, written by Professor Sutton. And, of course, he used to be up at Hoover Institute, but they didn't like the fact he was bringing the truth out. He told me one time, after going to a meeting, he came back. His name was gone from the door of his room, his office. His telephone was disconnected. They had to silence him. They couldn't let the American people understand that the United States government was financing the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War, and it financed communism since its inception. You need to get the book Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. My interview with Professor Sutton, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, and a book by Professor Sutton by that same title, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. So, and then if you want to get into the genocide that's going on in the world, on my book, pardon me, we have a four-tape set called The Other Holocaust. We'll take you into the Armenian Holocaust. It will take you into what happened in Rwanda. You'll hear people, interviews with people who are well acquainted with all these terrible things going on. And the Holocaust was terrible, but believe me, there have been many other terrible things going on that we never talk about in America, and we have to ask why. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Give us a call. You need to get the information. If you'd like to get a free newsletter, we'd be glad to send you one and a catalog. And we, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty.
Roswell, UFOs, flying saucers, alien abduction. Are we alone? Information regarding this and many other questions about the unknown are only a click away at www.theufostore.com. Theufostore.com offers hundreds of DVDs about UFOs, aliens, crop circles, conspiracies, Bigfoot, suppressed science, ancient mysteries, and the latest DVD releases like Dan Aykroyd Unplugged on UFOs and the Alien Files 5 DVD set. Theufostore.com also offers the book Roswell, It Really Happened by...
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
With news on the Information Radio Network, I'm Laura Lee Scholl. President Bush has signed into law a sweeping overhaul of the nation's pension system. Mark Smith is at the White House.
The measure aims to clamp down on the growing problem of underfunded traditional pension plans by encouraging companies to salt away enough to cover required benefits.
The message from this administration, from those of us up here today, is this. You should keep the promises you make to your workers.
And not dump the problem in Uncle Sam's lap. It's estimated America's pension plans are some $450 billion short, and unless financing improves, a hugely expensive bailout of the federal pension insurance system could be in the cards.
The Justice Department is appealing today's ruling from a federal judge in Detroit who said the government's warrantless wiretapping program is unconstitutional. The judge ordered the program to stop immediately, but the ruling won't take effect right away. This is IRN.
Many people think of Branson, Missouri as a wonderful little town in the Midwest filled with great shows, amusement parks, world-class golf courses, beautiful lakes, and endless shopping. Well, Branson is all of that and more. That's why we're proud to introduce to you Branson's new showcase resort, the Grand Crown. The Grand Crown.